Welcome into Scoops with Danny Mac on Fox 2. I'm Dan McLaughlin. Tonight, the focus will be on the Cardinals, and specifically, Tommy Edman. Quietly, he has turned into one of the best all-around players on the Cardinals roster and in the National League. Whether he's on the infield, making plays in the outfield, or as a constant at the top of the lineup, Tommy Edman finds a way to produce. He's coming up. Also, later in the show, what has been the impact of Phil Mickelson's win at the PGA on St. Louis Golf? I'll visit with Nick Ragone, who heads up the Ascension Charity Classic presented by Emerson. That event is coming to St. Louis. And one of the questions surrounding the tournament, will Lefty be in for the tourney as well here in St. Louis? Nick Ragone later in the show. Tomorrow night, the Cardinals will play the first of three against Albert Pujols and the Dodgers. Then St. Louis returns home for four against the Reds. What will it be like tomorrow to see Albert in Dodger blue?
Well, if you haven't seen him in Dodger blue yet, you are literally been hiding underneath a rock. But I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's one of those things that, you know, we've seen him in red for so long, and then he was with the Angels and as a hard pill to swallow. But now being with the Dodgers, I think it's going to be even a harder pill to swallow. But I think he's got a lot left in the tank, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him play again.
Should be a fun matchup with the Cardinals and the Dodgers. Hey, let's bring in Cardinals second baseman and outfielder Tommy Edman. And Tommy, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. You are off to just a fabulous start. This has got to be a lot of fun for you.
Thanks, Danny. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been a good start to the season for sure. It's been nice having kind of that consistent spot in the lineup and just knowing that I'm going to be in that leadoff spot every day and going out there, whether it's been second, right, or short, or whatever, just knowing I'll be out there on the field.
Does it really make a difference for you to have a constant, consistent spot in the lineup, or is it really that important?
Yeah, I think it makes a little bit of a difference just having that just that comfort, knowing that you're going to be in that same spot every day. Generally, my approach doesn't really change too much depending on where I'm hitting. So in that sense, not really, but I think just kind of that consistency helps out.
You know, I've always found it fascinating how players learn to switch it. So how did you learn to do that as a young kid?
Well, I had kind of messed around with switch hitting for a while. Even going back to probably travel ball when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I would just randomly go up to the plate left-handed sometimes. And eventually I had to make the decision to become a switch hitter, which happened, I think, towards the end of eighth grade, maybe right before high school. And at that point, the most important thing for me was to take as many lefty swings as possible, just because there was so much catch up that I had to do. So I made sure to get in the cage pretty much every single day. My dad threw me tons of BP, and I was able to catch up to that right-handed side.
Now, your dad has been extremely influential in your career. He had himself a nice career as well in amateur baseball. How influential has he been for you?
Yeah, I mean, extremely influential. I pretty much played for him from I was about 7 or 8 years old throughout high school. So those were obviously some huge formative years in my baseball career, and pretty much teaching me all the finer details of the game, all the situational stuff. And I was always around his high school team growing up as well. So I think that I kind of had to learn those details just from observing the game. And it's continued even till today. I still work with him a little bit in the off season, and he still throws some great BP. He obviously watches all the games and is able to give me some details on the swing as well.
So when you decided to play baseball, you're a little kid, you're playing middle infield. You had never played a pro inning in the outfield. How did you learn to make that transition so easily?
I think a big part of it is just having been comfortable with taking fly balls out there. So I think going back to like high school or even the college days, during BP, we would just occasionally go out there and run around the outfield just tracking down fly balls. So I think having done that in the past just allowed me to be more comfortable out there, getting into that big league setting. And then what came next was all the little situational stuff about understanding the score of the game, what hitters are up, where they're likely to be hitting it, depending on the count and everything like that. So I think just making sure I was getting out there every day and just seeing fly balls against the backdrop of the sky and of the stadium were the most important things that I had to do.
How about Willie McGee? How about him helping you make this transition?
Yeah, I mean, he helped out a ton. He gave me some great pointers for situational stuff, especially, and kind of just understanding what kind of hitter is at the plate and what they're going to be likely to do. So obviously having a guy who is one of the best outfielders in the game, who is our outfield coach, was extremely helpful.
I think it's fascinating. You truly have a baseball family, and we talked about your dad. Now, your brother John works for the Minnesota Twins. Your sister is working as a system engineer specialist for the Cardinals. So you truly have a baseball family. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's been great. I think, we're obviously a baseball family, as you can tell. So to have all three of the siblings working in some capacity at the major league level is pretty cool, and we get to have some good baseball conversations about various things, obviously, whether that's behind the scenes or on the field. And it's just been great to see both my brother and sister get to do things that they love.
So do they ever call you and tell you, hey, I got some analytics on you. You need to be doing this, that, or the other to be better. Do you ever get some of the advice from them?
Not necessarily. I think they try to stay out of that. I think my brother especially is pretty plays pretty close to the chest with the proprietary technology and analytics that the Twins have. I don't think he wants to share any of that stuff with me.
Hey, Tommy, please hold tight. I want to ask you about your current teammates and having fans back in the stands. That's next, and this is Scoops with Danny Mac on Fox 2. Scoops with Danny Mac is brought to you by Schnucks, Lou Fuse, Royal Banks of Missouri, and Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert. Welcome back to Scoops with Danny Mac on Fox 2. A reminder, there's daily content on the website, scoopswithdannymac.com. Podcasts, features, articles. If you've missed Bernie Miklas and his writing, you can see it all daily on scoopswithdannymac.com. Oh, what a play on a short hop by Tommy Edman. My goodness. Tommy Edman with a drive. Into deep left. It is gone. That is hammered. He knew it. Tampa Day. Tommy Edman. A blast in his second home run. This is Scoops with Danny Mac on Fox 2, and my guest is the Cardinals' Mr. Everything, Tommy Edman. You know, Tommy, you're relatively young to the game, and now you're playing on an infield with Nolan Arenado. You watch him every single day. What do you pick up from watching him every day?
Yeah, I think the most impactful thing from playing with Nolan is just observing how hard he works day in and day out. Obviously, he's been one of the elite players in all baseball for many years now, and to see him still working as hard as he does definitely makes a huge impact on us younger players, just knowing that it's pretty much that the work is never finished, you know, that you can always improve upon your game, and definitely has helped us out a lot, just showing us the way he goes about his business.
And the other two guys I want to ask you about are both Yadi and Waino. It's amazing to see them performing at this high of a level at an advanced age, a baseball advanced age. So what do you take away from watching those two play in the game?
I mean, honestly, the same kind of thing as with Nolan. I think having been in the league for so long and to see them still working as hard as they do and having their routines that they've done for 15 years now, you can definitely tell that's one of the major reasons why they've been able to stay in the league for so long, is they found what works for them and worked diligently at it and just been able to continue that for as many years as they've been playing. So I think that's helped me out in trying to develop my own routine and understanding which things that I need to be working hard on and just really working on those.
You're a bright guy. You studied while at Stanford math and computational science. What is math and computational science?
It's a lot of, it's kind of an intersection between like math, statistics, and computer science would be the best way I'd put it. And there's a little bit of a option for like a concentration, and I chose to concentrate, I think, more on the finance side. But yeah, it was definitely a very, very nerdy major, very nerdy sounding major, but it was very interesting to me. And, I think it's kind of cool to see the intersection of that with the baseball statistics and analytics and all the stuff going on in our game today.
Well, maybe a nerdy major. However, baseball is built around stats and analytics. Does your degree ever come into play in understanding and breaking down the numbers in baseball?
I think on a very basic level, I kind of do, just understanding like which things are the most important. Obviously everyone has kind of gone away from the batting average and gone more towards the OPS side of it, on base and slugging. And I think that, I mean, doesn't really require the degree that I had to understand that. One way that it would be kind of interesting to apply my degree is kind of the expected statistics, which I won't really dive into too much here, but it doesn't really apply to me as much. It's more of just a way of, I think, analyzing players, and doesn't really impact the way that I go about my game preparation or anything like that. That would be more like a front office way of evaluating guys.
Always curious about this. If Tommy Edmond wasn't playing baseball, Tommy Edmond would be doing what?
I don't know. Fortunately, I haven't had to think about that too much. There's a very good chance I'd probably be still involved in baseball some way, one way or another. Could be something very similar to what my brother and sister are both doing right now.
Understood. I wanted to ask you about the All-Star game. At all, are you thinking about this? You're having a tremendous year. Have you thought about the potential of maybe being an All-Star this season?
I mean, not too much. Obviously, it's still a couple, a month and a half away still. So there's a lot of baseball to be played. But I try not to think about any of the accolades or anything like that. Just kind of trying to focus on each game as it comes about and not get too far ahead of myself.
When you make it to the big leagues, there's a ton of attention on the player. There's only a handful of players that make it. So how do you handle the pressures of being a major league player and also the attention that comes along with this?
I mean, I honestly don't think it changes too much. And kind of going back to what I was saying about Nolan earlier is that I still feel like I can improve a ton as a player. I don't think that I'm nearly at the level that I'm capable of playing at. So I still go about my business the same exact way, still trying to get to that elite level that obviously in baseball, everyone's pursuing perfection, but no one's ever going to get there. It's an impossible task. So there's always room for improvement, and I'll just keep working at that until I'm the best player I'm capable of being.
I'd love to find out about this. In terms of your favorite player or teams, who were your favorite players to watch growing up?
Yeah, I mean, growing up in San Diego, I watched the Padres. They had a few good years back in, I think, like 07, 08, somewhere around that time. They had that was when Adrian Gonzalez's peak. He had some great years with them and was really an unbelievable hitter to watch. And actually, in my high school years, I watched Miguel Cabrera's swing a lot. I think he won the Triple Crown back in like 12 or 13, one of those years. And that would have coincided with my junior or senior year of high school. So right when I was really starting to lock in the mechanical side of the swing. So just observing him was very impressive. And it was cool. Since we played the Tigers last year, I actually got to get a signed ball from him, which was pretty neat.
That's awesome. That's really neat. So you got to experience your first opening day this year in St. Louis, albeit with a reduced crowd at Busch Stadium. What was opening day like in St. Louis for Tommy Edmond?
Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. Just getting to ride around in the trucks and waving all the fans who were obviously super excited to finally be back at Busch. It was an incredible experience, and I can't wait for next year when we have that full stadium capacity.
Finally, Tommy, what's it been like to have fans back in the stands, just generally speaking, and how a major league player feeds off the energy of those crowds?
Yeah, it's definitely different. We miss that a lot. And it just provides that little burst of energy that you might need. And I think that little adrenaline when you hear the rush of the crowd and after a big play or a big hit or something like that, I mean, there's nothing like that. And it's definitely a feeling that I missed a lot last year.
Hey, Tommy, it was great to catch you up. Thanks for being a part of the show, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Of course, Danny. Good talking as always. Thank you.
You bet. From baseball to Phil Mickelson and golf, specifically the Ascension Charity Classic coming to town. What did Phil's win do for the tournament just a week ago? That's next on Scoops with Danny Mac here on Fox 2. Scoops with Danny Mac is brought to you by Blue Tail Medical Group, Royal Banks of Missouri, Hair Saloon for Men, and Triad Bank.
Biggest moment of a legendary career. Phil defeats Father Time.
Just an incredible moment in sports, much less golf, to see a 50-year-old Phil Mickelson close out a major. The PGA Championship. Now, the Ascension Charity Classic, presented by Emerson, is later this summer at Norwood Hills. The tournament is hopeful that Mickelson will be a part of it. So let's find out. Let's bring in Nick Ragone, who heads up the Ascension Charity Classic. Nick, an incredible moment that took place at the PGA. What has that victory done in terms of the momentum that's building for later in the summer in your event?
Well, you know, Danny, Phil is an amazing character. Only two people in the last 40 years move the needle in golf. It's Tiger, who is the needle, and Phil. And I think when Phil plays well and unexpectedly well, it ignites something in the passion of all golfers, especially for those of us over 50. It's a reminder of what he you know, he's been around for 30 years. Think about it. He won in 1991 and again this week. And like Tiger at Belle Reve in 2018, the reason why that there was such passion, because you got a glimpse of the Tiger of old. And I think the same thing has happened for us in St. Louis, particularly. People saw Phil, and it kind of reminded them the way the fans enveloped him of Tiger at Belle Reve. And, it, you know, there was something there. And I think it really has struck a spark with our event, and I think golf in general and professional golf in St. Louis.
Well, and so the big question would be, when he does that, is he coming to St. Louis? Can you get a commitment from Phil to be a part of this event?
You know, we've been working with all the great players on the Champions Tour. I mean, the scheduling is usually a couple weeks before the event, but we've been in talks, obviously, with Phil and Ernie Els and Jim Furyk and Mike Weir and Darren Clark and Bernard Langer, Freddie, of course, Jack and Tom, as you know, will be there. And so it's hard to say. I mean, I do think Phil will be busier, frankly. He's going to now qualify for the FedEx Cup, which previously he hadn't really been in the running for. Probably going to play on the Ryder Cup. Which, you know, again, I don't think anybody saw that coming. He's really the favorite going into the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, which is staggering to think that a 50-year-old who was off the radar is now one of the favorites going into the U.S. Open. But at the same time, we have a great spot in the schedule, Labor Day weekend. There's no PGA Tour event opposite us. And I do think if you look at Phil's calendar, he's probably going to want to stay sharp for the Ryder Cup coming out of the FedEx Cup. And it would be a perfect spot for him and Stricker and the others on the calendar. And we know I've been receiving overwhelming numbers of texts and emails from players on the Champions Tour just saying how excited they are to come out to St. Louis.
So with him winning, what has that done this past week in terms of interest and ultimately ticket sales for your event?
Ticket sales, pro-am sales, even sponsorship and hospitality packages went through the roof starting on Saturday of the tournament. So a week ago, Saturday, as Phil was climbing the leaderboard, our website and our phone numbers started getting a lot of calls. And then on Sunday, as he took the lead on the back nine, it really started going crazy. And then Monday, it exploded last Monday. I think we sold something like 25 pro-am spots that day alone. Ticket sales are through the roof. I mean, this is going to feel, Danny, more like a PGA Tour event than a Champions Tour event, just based on tickets sold to date, the pro-am, again, just the hospitality tents. We've had to open up a third hole. First, we started with one hole. We went through that, then a second hole. Now we're on a third hole, and we're getting close to needing a fourth hole for, you know, 35-plus hospitality tents. So this will feel like a PGA Tour event.
That's incredible. Also, I'm sure you're seeing attention building for the event, and the fact that we're seeing COVID numbers drop and people in this community, as you well know, support their sporting events like none other.
Yeah, it was really a perfect storm of Phil capturing the attention of golfers everywhere. A truly magical event last week with him winning, a historic event. And then, you know, sort of the new CDC guidelines and summer starting, you know, the cards are going to full attendance. Most sports are. There's just such an overwhelming desire. You've seen it, Danny, with people to get back to normal. And golf is an outdoors event, right? It's an outdoors event that we could all enjoy. particularly playing in the Pro-Am or watching the best in the world. And by September, Labor Day weekend, we should be in good shape. And I just think there's such a pent-up demand to start getting back to normal. And you know, in St. Louis is, you know, this a golf crazy town. I mean, we love our professional golf, not just the majors, but now Champions Tour events.
I'll wrap it up with this. What's your message to fans who want to be a part of this event and to come and support it?
Hurry up. If you want to volunteer, go to our website, AscensionCharityClassic.com. Hurry up on that because we're almost full of volunteers. If you want to get a tent, really hurry up because we're running out of holes and Pro-Am spots. We're running out of those too. And ticket sales we'll have every day. We think we'll have, you know, anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000 people a day. But I would say go to our website, AscensionCharityClassic.com, and start making your plans now because our inventory is running out quickly.
Hey, Nick, as always, thanks for being a part of the show.
Thank you, Danny.
For Nick Ragone, Tommy Edman, I'm Dan McLaughlin. This has been Scoops with Danny Mac on Fox 2. I'll see you next weekend at 10:30.